Welcome to How to Build a Tent. The show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. And I hope that you have been able to learn or hear different ideas, theories, discussions that have helped you become successful. I'd love to hear about them. If you would like, I would love to hear about them. So you could reach out to me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matthowtobuildatent.com. I love hearing your guys' message. I just read an encouraging message I got on Facebook Messenger from one of you, and that just really just makes my day. It makes all of this worth it. So thank you so much for sharing. You know who you are. I won't mention your name. And because you know what we talk about is between you and me, whoever you are. Thank you so much for all of the support, for the thousands of you that are listening to the show. It's amazing. Thank you for all those who have become a member and got one of these sweet HTBT mugs. How do you become a member, you might say? Well, I'm going to tell you. You go over to crosspolitic.com and become a member with the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. You get great benefits. You get great content that helps you with your walk, hopefully encourages you in your Christian faith. You get to have great content talking about politics, culture, business, eating, tons of different things just for CrossPolitik, soon to be Fight, Laugh, Feast members. Go over to crosspolitik.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, you get the sweet mug and a whole bunch of other stuff. Please do that. Really appreciate that. Today, we're going to be talking about a really interesting company that is taking and growing into a company that's going to compete with Amazon and one of their key differentiations, and that is e-commerce shipping. There's just a lot of great stuff in this, and I love this. I hope you guys love videos. If you don't love videos, please let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to keep doing them because I think they're great. I love having them integrated in with the show. Can you get to see conversations about business from other people, other experts, other entrepreneurs? And there's just a lot of great stuff out there, and I want to bring it to you guys to learn. So that is why I've been bringing a lot of videos, and I'm plan on continuing to do it unless I hear like an uprise from the HTBT community when they reach out to me on email or social media. So if you do have a problem with that, just let me know. All right, so today we're going to another Fox video. I always try to go to the Fox, give them support because I don't like liberal policies or news stations.
I want to bring in someone who helps the little guy take on Amazon Prime with two-day shipping. Michael Kakaris is with us. The company is called Deliver. And Michael, you're going to tell me how you make it easier for the small seller to compete with Amazon on shipping. Go through your system.
Sure. So Deliver is essentially an Amazon-like fulfillment service for online merchants. And so let's say you buy something online. We're the ones who handle the warehousing and the shipping on behalf of the merchant to make sure that whatever you bought online, you get it on time. We work with some of the largest online merchants today, and these are merchants that focus selling on Amazon, eBay, Walmart, across these different marketplaces. It's actually a good chance that a lot of people watching this have bought from a few of our different clients.
Okay,
and you've got we're enabling these merchants.
You've got these giant warehouses or very large warehouses all over the country to facilitate this. It seems to me that the warehouse is becoming more important than the store.
Well, I think when we look at e-commerce and look at e-commerce logistics in general, I mean, it's such a fast-growing industry today. And in terms of our network and the way we've built things, it's a little bit unique in that we actually don't own the warehouses in Deliver. We are leasing space across a very wide network of independently owned warehouses across the country. And, you know, we're basically leveraging excess space in warehouses to store inventory very close to buyers. And you can think of Deliver almost like an Uber network of warehouses.
Yeah, I can see that. Would you consider taking over some of the space vacated by Sears stores, for example?
I mean, you're always looking at where you can find more space. I think right now we're looking at, some already established e-commerce warehouses. And then, you know, as we continue to expand and move from, you know, going 2 day to going to 1 day and same day, we'll be looking at how can we get and look, you know, rent out space, lease out space closer and closer to the major urban centers.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to get closer and closer to the people buying the product and getting it through your warehouse. How many warehouses do you have at the moment?
We don't disclose our total number of warehouses within the network. In terms of some of the locations, we have several in California, okay.
So
Southern
private,
California,
right?
And in Central California.
You're private.
There's a lot of great stuff in this video. And the first thing I want us to talk about is that you don't have to have a product that is as good as a bigger company does to be competitive and to find value in the market. You just have to be a better option, an option that provides more value to your customer base. And this is one of the important reasons why you do need to know who your customer is, what their pain points are, so you know how to critique, come out with a product, or change your product, pivot your product, market your product, and sell your product to your customer that in a way that you can convey the value of what you have to bring. If you notice in that video, they don't have two-day shipping yet like Amazon does, but they have a better shipping option today than a small business would managing their own logistics. I imagine it's a lot easier to ship with using their company than for you to come up and have your own boxes and to tape them and to go send them and or have UPS or FedEx or the post office send those packages out for you. It's easier, it's probably cheaper because they have agreements and deals because they have economies of scale to just have them take care of it. And even though they don't offer two-day shipping yet, it's something they're working towards, they're providing a better value to their core customers that is allowing them to sell even on Amazon. So they don't have to be as good as Amazon is, but they have to be a company that provides value to their target customer. Their customer is not Amazon. They're not trying to sell their logistics to Amazon. There's no value for that in Amazon, but there is value to selling their logistics service to smaller companies that don't have the capital, don't have the cars, the network that Amazon does. So if you are having a problem with your sales, if you are having a hard time finding people for your product, look at who your customer is. Is your customer who you think it is, or is it some other person? Is it somebody with another need, another pain point that you could be solving better? And that could be a great way for you to boost your sales. Maybe you're selling to the wrong customer. And also, with this point, start looking at these big companies and what they are able to do and what advantages they have and what smaller companies might not have, and see if there is a niche for you to offer a product that a big company has that a small company doesn't, like this shipping logistics site. I don't know what it is, but there's always going to be new opportunities to sell to small businesses, because as technology increases, there's always going to be new industries created, new opportunities, things that come, things that go. And it's for you, the entrepreneur, to recognize them in advance and to create value and step into the void that this ever-changing economy provides. The second point is along those lines, that innovation is changing industries and presenting new options, but specifically in warehouse space, in a way that you never would have thought of even 10, 15 years ago. It almost is like the Airbnb effect. If you notice, what he said is they don't own warehouses. Now, that would be unheard of before this technology age, the digital age, has come into play. What do you mean you're a logistics company and you don't own any warehouses? Just think of how crazy that would have been 10 years ago. And think, and I love doing this. So you think about how crazy it would have been 10 years ago. And now think about in 10 years in the future, what is going to be crazy, or what is crazy today that's going to be normal in 10 years? It's mind blowing, because technology is not just always changing, but it's increasingly changing at a higher rate of speed. So the difference between the last 10 years is going to be a lot slower of change than the next 10 years. It's going to be a lot faster of a change. And as someone who loves change, I'm really excited to see what the future has in store for us. But it's a great story about how we're taking and using assets in a more efficient way. Before, if you didn't have if you weren't able to, as a warehouse owner of a business, or you just owned the real estate, you weren't able to lease out the whole space, or you weren't able to run at maximum capacity, that asset wouldn't be performing at its full potential, and you wouldn't be getting the max ROI. Well, in today's world, because of the Airbnb effect, you are able to partner with other companies and use that space to get a return on your investment, where if you are not using a part of the warehouse, then you could sell it or rent it to another company who can use it. So the company that rents it from you doesn't have to make a huge capital investment, and you're not just wasting part of your capital, and you're able to get a better return on investment. And that is one of the reasons why I'm so bullish on our economy, is not just that we're coming up with new technology and new innovation and new businesses, but the existing assets we have, like our cars for Uber or Lyft, and then our houses like Airbnb and our rental houses, and even our buildings for business, are becoming more efficient. We're able to generate more wealth with existing capital that we're not required to put any more investment in. They are being used and leveraged as they are. And that is creating more wealth in the economy. So not only is it about innovation, but it's also about leveraging the existing capital we have that technology is allowing us to do, which is a great thing, and why I think our economy still has a ways to go with the claws of the Fed and seeing what they can do. You know, who knows? And they can raise interest rates like 5 points and just bring us crashing down. But if the Fed stayed out of it, I think the economy would be really, really strong for a year or two. The second point that I wanted to bring out of this is an economic argument of how great capitalism really is. And you hear a lot of people that attack capitalism. They always paint the villain as the big corporation. I don't know if you've noticed this, but in a lot of movies, the villain stopped being the Russians or some foreign government that's going to be a terrorist organization, and it started shifting to more of businesses being the evil villain, the big evil corporation that's going to, you know, pollute the water or take over the world or influence governments to oppress the people. And there has been this subtle shift, and you notice it in our culture, of how much of the youth are anti-big business. And they're saying that they are evil, but I want to say that this is a great example of how technology and capitalism deals with big businesses, and why having profits in a big business is not a bad thing. Because when you see a big business that's successful like Amazon and the value that they create, like two-day shipping, it provides opportunity for companies like this gentleman that we saw on the video, where he can see from what Amazon's doing the value he could provide to small businesses to do the same thing that Amazon is doing at a larger scale. And what we were going to be seeing more and more of with APIs and technologies that is able to integrate different companies, I believe, is that companies are going to be experts in one area, where a big business does multiple things to deliver their product or service. Big business or small businesses are going to do one thing. Like this company is going to do logistics. Another company is going to do customer relations, CRM support, phone calls, databases. Phone centers. And then another company is going to offer IT solutions. And another company is going to manufacture, and they're all going to start integrating, and they're going to be able to have a la carte kind of services, where as a business, you can come in and be able to compete for your target customer right away, because you can pull all these different values from these different companies and bring it into one place and create your own value as a business. And what I mean by that is there's great opportunity to create a workflow, a platform, a service where you have different APIs that you pull into. I'm just thinking of my app company that I had. I didn't build in my app company its own technology, its own code to read payment processing, to take credit cards. But I used another company who charged me a fee, a merchant service company. And all I had to do was take their code and plug it in. And then I needed to have scores and updates and data that come in to provide to my users. But I didn't collect it. I didn't write it down. I didn't watch every game ever played. But I had a company that did that. So I took their API and I plugged it in. And this is very common in the app space and website development of using APIs. As this technology becomes more familiar and more readily available and cheaper and efficient, that it's going to be the way that everyone does it in every industry. Just as technology comes into play and we enter further into the digital economy, that is what you're going to be expecting. And the more that you can master those things today, the better off you're going to be and the more advantages you're going to have. There's going to be, again, incredible opportunities for new value to be provided, for you to step in and find new customers because of this ever-changing landscape. And just thinking about just how, you know, driverless cars, how we're going to be sharing warehouses, we're sharing homes, we're sharing cars. How is that going to look in just the real estate world and how cities are going to be built and how, you know, like the underground, what the thing that Elon Musk is making, what is it called? I forgot what it's called. Anyways, you know what it is, the Hyperloop, that's what it is. Just imagine just the different value that you can bring when a Hyperloop, and what kind of services could you add to people that are commuting for Hyperloop? Or, you know, there's like a whole different new shift that's happening, and there's so many new opportunities to that are going to be presented. And as somebody looking to start a business, start thinking about those things and looking for those opportunities, because if you can do that and you can see how technology today can be leveraged for something tomorrow, that's when you have a great business idea. And you can start doing things like the Ubers of the world and the Airbnbs in the world, who saw a need and matched it with technology and created this awesome value. Well, so think about it. If you're looking for a business, what can you do to provide value to a small business in a way a big business can? And I hope that helps. If you can reach out to me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent, you can find me. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.